This morning we're in the fifth sermon of this Lenten sermon series entitled Awareness, Opening the Eyes of Our Hearts. And we've been looking at the truth that the journey of faith is about an ongoing process, really, of seeing things more clearly. Jesus' invitations, follow me and come and see, are invitations that he never stops issuing and that never stop being a source of fuel for the journey, journey of faith and following him. There's always more to be seen, and understanding is an ever-deepening process. And we've been looking at examples of this teaching that Jesus refers to several times throughout his earthly ministry. We've been looking at examples of it in the Gospels and in the book of Revelation. And today we're looking at Luke 7:36 and following, the story of the woman who anoints Jesus. What's interesting about this story is that it's told in all four Gospels, but it's told differently in all four places, which in itself is a kind of testimony to what we've been talking about matters of perception and perspective and where we're standing when we look at something in particular that's happening, that we all view a video differently, if you will. We all see a scene differently, and when we go to report on it, we report what we've seen, not necessarily everything that was there. And we can all look at a particular picture and see things differently, and certainly the four different stories of this woman who anoints Jesus tells a bit of that truth. But today we look at Luke's version, which takes place in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And Luke tells the story this way, Luke 7, verses 36 and following. Now, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." And Jesus said, "A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven, and she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we all know, depending on our perspective, depending on what is happening in each of us, we see things that we all might be standing in front of differently. So help us in that difference to connect with the truth of our limits, but also with the breadth of your work. Help us to step back and to take in a bigger picture, the one which you see. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Whenever I think about matters of perception and the differences that might exist in people's same encounter of the same thing, but seeing it differently, I think of a parable that's told, a South Asian parable, an Indian parable that's told of three blind men who are led to stand near an elephant, and each reaching out touches a different part of this elephant. And the one who is positioned at the elephant's side says, "This is a wall." And the one who is positioned in front of one of the elephant's legs says, "This is a tree." And the one who is positioned at the elephant's head and is holding onto the trunk says, "This is a snake." All reflecting the limits of their perception, their inability to see with their eyes, and yet each of them holding on to a portion of the truth, and each interpreting that truth differently. It's a great illustration of what often happens when we all witness the same thing and yet see different aspects of it. Our perceptions are influenced by the variables that are in play in our particular encounter of something. And another example of this might be our interpretation of a Rorschach ink blot, that psychological test that has been around for a long time, where different ink blots are placed in front of a person, and that person sees a variety of shapes and images, whatever first comes into his mind. I remember I did a psych assessment once shortly after having a surgery that I had when I was 27 that had revealed a problem with my kidneys, and every single one of those Rorschach ink blots looked like a kidney x-ray to me. And the report of the psychologist afterwards was that there was some residual anxiety about recent health concerns. We all have different experiences that we bring to anything that we might view. We all have perceptions that are influenced by our history or our state of being at the particular moment when we're watching something. We all can see the same thing differently. And in our text this morning, Jesus asks Simon the Pharisee a question which just has always riveted my attention when I read this text, because I think it's the most important line in this text, and it's the question, "Simon, do you see this woman?" Take another look, is what Jesus is saying. Do you see what's happening here? Take another look. Step back and look at this differently than you might ordinarily look at it. The story's familiar to us. Jesus comes to a dinner party at the house at the invitation of Simon the Pharisee, which it's important for us to remember that the Pharisees are not vile, evil enemies in the Gospels. They are pictured rightly as people who are wanting to be devout and wanting to seek the best way, and so actually are attracted to the teaching of Jesus. And so Simon invites Jesus into his home and says, "Come be with us." And we all know what happens. A woman from the city crashes the party. A woman in the city who was a sinner is the way Luke describes her. Everybody seemed to know this. And then standing behind Jesus, everyone is reclined at the table, standing behind Jesus and at his feet, she begins to weep. Her tears fall on his feet. She kneels down and wipes the wetness from her tears off of his feet, and then anoints his feet with oil and uses her hair to wipe off the moisture of her tears, and then rubs this very, very expensive ointment into his feet. It's a lavish and quite frankly, disturbing display. But a display of love and gratitude, nevertheless. A display of intimacy and vulnerability that makes everyone in the room uncomfortable, everyone but Jesus and the woman who is showing this love. And so Jesus, sensing the tension in the room, and Luke really telling us Jesus reading the mind of Simon and his question about if this man were a prophet, he'd know that she were a sinner and he wouldn't be letting her touch him in this way. And Jesus steps back in a sense and looks at Simon and asks everybody to step back by telling a story. He redirects attention to a parable. He pans the camera out at that point, if you will, and tells the story of two debtors, one who's forgiven 500 denarii and one who's forgiven 50 denarii, and then asks the question, which of these two debtors would love the creditor more? And Simon answers the question, well, the one who was forgiven the greater debt. Jesus gets everybody to step back and to consider an abstraction at this point, to consider a principle, a rule, something that sort of relieves the tension of this lavish display of vulnerability and love performed by this woman. In a sense, he says, let's all take a step back and let's examine a religious principle in this story of these two debtors. And Simon answers the question correctly, or at least he gives Jesus the answer that Jesus was going for in telling the story. I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt is Simon's answer. And then suddenly the camera pans back in, or zooms back in rather. And Jesus asks the question, Simon, do you see this woman? And then there's a series of close-ups, if you will, back and forth, that kind of recount the happenings of the evening. Let's look again at what happened here. That's what Jesus' question really invites. Let's look again at what happened here. And let me just read that again, because these close-up shots go back and forth between Simon's behavior and the woman's behavior. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. And then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears. A common act of hospitality was to allow all the guests to wash their own feet. As we learn in other places in the Gospels, The cleansing of feet was not even done by slaves of the household, but each person was given the opportunity to clean his or her own feet upon entering the house. So Jesus says, you didn't offer any water. That's kind of a misstep on your part, Simon, kind of an oversight, and yet she is bathing my feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. You didn't greet me in the way that people are usually greeted. But from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, which is a sign of fellowship and welcome. But she has anointed my feet with ointment. Simon, do you see what happened here tonight? Do you see this woman? It really turns into another question, actually. Do you see yourself, Simon? Do you see your own poverty? Do you see your own inability to love? And now the camera comes in a tight focus on Simon. And everyone, including Simon, is looking at Simon. And Simon, like the fictional Pharisee in the parable that Connie read earlier from another place in Luke. Like that fictional counterpart in the parable, Simon becomes an illustration of another one of Jesus' teachings, a teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, a teaching that we read in Matthew 6, where Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of your body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." And then there's this obscure line, but it's absolutely an illustration of this story when Jesus says, "If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What are you looking at, Simon? What do you see? What light are you letting in? And is it telling you the whole truth? Or is it only telling you the truth that you want to let in? You're a good person, Simon. You've successfully kept yourself away from the edge where you might fall into evil. You are not like that tax collector. You are not like this woman. But the light of evenness, the light of avoiding bad behavior while not bad, is not really perfect good either. In fact, for you, Simon, it's a kind of darkness, because you could have so much more than just avoiding evil. You could actually dwell in and be filled with the light of God's love. You know, as we think about this story, we have to come to the conclusion Simon is no villain here, and the woman of the city is no heroine, because both of them are souls in darkness. Both are in need of the light. And here's the thing. When we recognize our darkness and are then invited to walk into the light, when we experience being loved, we're flooded with gratitude. The gratitude of the bird who is released from the fowler's snare, or the one who has been lifted up from the pit in order to have his feet set in the broad and open place and explore that liberating truth and expansiveness of the grace of God. There's a big difference between being grateful for a life of good choices that have enabled us to successfully steer clear of evil, steer clear of the edge of evil, perhaps. There's a difference between that kind of life and a life where we know that not even our missteps can separate us from the love of God. Paul sums it up well in Romans 3 when he says, "All have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And you know what the essence of that glory is? You know what the substance of that heavy, heavy reality, that weighty truth is? The substance of glory is the steadfast love of God. Love that is so high and wide and broad and deep that it surpasses our knowledge. Love that we can never fully fathom. Love in which we are always growing. Love that has been lavished upon us. Love in which we will continue to grow. Love, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love that never ends. Let's pray. Release us into that broad and open space. Bring us out of the darkness of the pit and release us into that place of light. Help us to continue to open our eyes even wider to it and allow it in, to know that we belong body and soul in life and in death, not to ourselves, but to you, O God. And help us to rest in that place and then reflect that love in gratitude to our world. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.